Oh, you'll be glad to know that I'm not going to sing my homily. Dear friends, the clergy and the Catholic people of Parramatta have been waiting for long, and here I am. Only 5 foot and a half, though. After 20 months without a bishop, you have been given one in the person of a Vietnamese Australian and a former boat person. Perhaps you can add my appointment to the list of surprises that Pope Francis has done. I'm very honored and humbled by this appointment and grateful for the opportunity to serve the church in Parramatta during this time. As guided by my motto, go further into the deep. Looking outum, I have taken many leaps of faith before, including the one that launched me literally onto the Pacific Ocean. Now I'm about to be cast into the deep interior of Western Sydney, all the way to the beautiful Blue Mountains and the fertile plains of the Hawkesbury River. I cannot help but feel daunted by what lies ahead. Nevertheless, I make bold to move forward, trusting in the sustaining power of God and the support of many people and fellow ministers of the gospel. There is an African adage that says, you sit on an old mat to weave the new one. Already here, one finds a richly textured tapestry of a young, vibrant, and diverse diocese, as Archbishop Anthony remarked in the beginning. So I will sit on an old mat, not a magic one, that others have woven, perhaps with a bit more comfort than I would on this very generous cathedral. I'm indebted to my predecessors and others who, like the wise master builders Paul talks about in the second reading, have laid a sound foundation. I honor this legacy and want to build on it. Although I can only walk in my own shoes, I would like to be like the steward who brings out of his storeroom treasures, both new and old. It is together as bishop, clergy, and people that will listen to what the Spirit is saying to us in our context and discern how to live and witness as disciples of Christ. Friends, to say that we are at a critical juncture in the church is probably an understatement. What we are witnessing as the people of faith is the flood of secularization that has washed away much of the church we've known and we've loved. We've been battered and bruised. We've been reduced in numbers and status. And what is more, we have to admit with the greatest humility that we have not lived up to that fundamental ethos of justice, mercy, and care for those who have been hurt by our own actions and inactions. And so in the eyes of many, whatever aura of respectability we've got left has evaporated with the sexual abuse crisis. The Royal Commission has been a lightning rod, an uncomfortable spotlight, but hopefully a catalyst for transformation. I'd like to think of this critical juncture as analogous to the biblical exile, to which, as a former refugee, I have a personal affinity. The exile was about facing the death of the old and giving birth to the new. The biggest lesson they learned was seeking God's justice for the poor and the lowly. They learned to be a society in which the care of the most marginalized was to be the essential distinguishing feature. As your bishop, I'd like to think of my role as that of the prophets who accompany their people in the exile, point them to the signs of the new Kairos, and lead them in the direction of the kingdom. I'm committed to the renewal of the church, patterned on the Paschal rhythm of Christ, the church that dies to worldly power, privilege, clericalism, and rises at the same time to humility, simplicity, equality, and servanthood. The church that might be smaller, poorer, and humbler, but hopefully more of a light and a sacrament of God's love to the world. The scriptures we have heard tonight speak of a radical vision of love, inclusion, and human flourishing. That vision is enshrined in the prophecy of Isaiah. God's people, he proclaims, include foreigners, outsiders, who join themselves to the Lord, who serve him and do what pleases him. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. This is no small matter to the Jewish exiles who are suspicious of outsiders. It amounts to a seismic shift in their understanding of who God is and what it means to be his people. A tribal deity of old gives way to a universal and all-encompassing, all-embracing God. We should ask ourselves what it means to apply this expansive vision of God to our social matrix, and what it means to be a house of prayer for all the peoples. Here in Sydney's West, I'm told, asylum seekers and youth radicalization are politically charged issues. As a former board person, I have a certain kinship to those who are alienated and marginalized. As your bishop, I am committed to be a bridge builder. We must foster pathways across the political and religious divide in order to build not only a rich and strong Australia with jobs and growth, but also an inclusive and humane society, a responsible world citizen. Furthermore, Pope Francis urges us to be a church where everyone can feel welcomed, loved, forgiven, and encouraged to live according to the gospel. There can be no future for the living church without there being space for those who have been hurt, damaged, or alienated, be they abuse victims, survivors, divorcees, gays, lesbians, or disaffected members. I am committed to make the church in Parramatta the house for all the peoples, a church where there is less an experience of exclusion, but more of an encounter of radical love, inclusiveness, and solidarity. Love one another as I have loved you, says Jesus. And these words can be understood not only in terms of his relationship with his disciples, but also in the larger context of his engagement with the people. There is that famous song called "I Want to Know What Love Is." A lot of young people here would know. The world wants us to show them what Christian love really is. And we must admit at times what they find do not always match with the words, gestures, and actions of Christ. He shows love not only by his passion and death on the cross. He also demonstrates that love through his acceptance, embrace, affirmation, compassion, forgiveness, solidarity, especially towards those stigmatized by others. And so, in doing so, he has a habit of challenging ingrained stereotype attitudes subverting the tyranny of the majority, breaking social taboos, pushing the boundaries of love, and redefining its meaning. It is his radical vision of love, inclusion, and human flourishing that ought to guide our pastoral response. We cannot regain our moral credibility without first reclaiming that vision of the humble, powerless, and loving servant leader, and making that the cornerstone of all that we do and all that we are as church. My dear friends, today with you, the clergy and the Catholic people of Parramatta, I am launching out into the deep, so fasten your seatbelts. With you, I'm embarking on a new exodus, walking as pilgrims together, accompanying one another as companions on the journey. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. These words of Jesus challenge us to be the church that we should be and could be, a house for all the peoples, an oasis for the weary and troubled, a field hospital for the wounded, a refuge for the oppressed, a voice for the voiceless, the nameless, the faceless. It is also the invitation of our bishops' conference made to our nation at this time to protect the vulnerable, the poor, the weak, to treat asylum seekers with justice, with dignity, worthy of our nation's status as a welcoming and generous nation, of which I am a living witness, to respect life, to be good stewards of creation. With grateful heart, I ask for your prayer and support as I walk with you in the new exodus to the fullness of life and love.